Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you prefer email, and why not? Email's easy. And we'll get to your questions throughout the show when it hopefully fits in. But we'd love to hear from you, so please do give us a call. Now, I was supposed to be gone, right? And Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown were going to step in and take it over because I was going to be literally in the wilderness area. One of my favorite places to go to, the Pauly Bemis Ranch. Many of you know where that is, out in the middle of nowhere. No phones, and that is awfully nice to just decompress and be away. But Corona hit, right? Somebody got sick on the ranch, and so they have to have everybody tested, quarantined, because he came in contact with everybody, and so on. Well, anyway, we'll hopefully, and there are no symptoms like most everybody, which is, again, we'll talk about the data today. As I like to do is to bring you the ongoing data, anything new. I mean, there's not that much new out there. Corona is calming down. That's a good news, but it still is affecting many, many people out there. So we'll talk about that. But anyway, they will be with you all here in another month or so. 3 weeks, I think. Something like that. No, another month. Anyway, that's why I'm here. If you were wondering that, don't care. That's fine. But there you have it. So speaking of Corona, and I don't want to just pound through numbers, but again, these are the kind of micro numbers that are really pointing to the opening of an economy that many are trying to shut down. Many, meaning California still is in lockdown. Weirdly, even though the cases are all going away, New York City looks like a tomb. It still does. And people are just not coming back. And of course, the media has done the best they can to scare everybody to death. And they've done a really good job of it. Because stunningly, the amount of data out there, 6 months into a pandemic, and we still don't know. The average person doesn't understand this simple fact. If you are under the age of 65, the chances of you dying of coronavirus are nearly zero. And if you're a child, the amount of overstatement that we have for how many people have died of coronavirus is in the hundreds of times. That's how far off we are. And so that's why the data is important to understand. It's not, here's the data to prove my point, which is exactly what's going on out there. How is it 6 months into this pandemic? There's been nothing in our lifetime that has had so many numbers attached to it. So many people studying it, so much availability of the data. And yet, somehow, the average person is so far off in understanding the basic data. Not this is my understanding of what we ought to do, nothing like that. How is it that literally 50 children under the age of 15 have died of coronavirus? And I don't know how many got hit by a bus, but tested positive, and the hospital gets more money, so I understand it has to be put down as coronavirus death. 50. But do you realize that that people out there, when in a survey recently done, survey by the Franklin Templeton Group, very, very large survey, thought that 10% of the deaths were from children. 10. Not 0.000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 None. How many do you think die of suicide? Hundreds. Every year. Do you think that number is going up or down? This is, I find it disturbing, not let's open this, open that. Of course, that's everybody's opinion. But I find it disturbing that in 6 months, all the data available but I don't want to know anything. This is what I believe. And it's wrong. How do we have a discussion about opening schools? How do we? When the average person walking around agrees with MSNBC and CNN, just falls right in instead of actually looking at the numbers. How do we have an honest discussion and solve problems? We don't. They don't want to. They don't want to. This is working. Devastating as it is. Drug addictions, opioid, so on. Through the roof. Suicides increasing monthly by astronomical numbers. Not just with children, adults. Pretty strange. We can't have this discussion. We still have to be locked down. We can't have a discussion that asks, why is it that Japan is spiking? I thought they were brilliant at this. We can't even have these discussions, and that's disappointing. We'll talk. I'll get you the rest of the data here later. I want to shift a little bit, but that is just, to me, it's like, it's this is part of the reason it's changing. The media can get crazy about this. And the politicians can try to lock people down. But they're busting out. And we're seeing it in TSA numbers. We're seeing it in retail sales. We're seeing it all across the board. Consumer prices, we talked about this last week, and that's a good news, bad news deal, right? But consumer prices are up the most since 1991. Hey, without demand, you don't get an increase in consumer prices. Where's the demand coming from? If everybody's just stuck in their house, there isn't an increase in demand. People are getting out. And what's going on with the market? Is it just a bunch of stupid people aren't aware of how this is going to take us all down forever? As Apple hits $2 trillion in value. $2 trillion. Stock market hits all-time highs. I know it's just the tech stocks, and you're right, to a degree. It's not just the tech stocks. But I would also say that the market's pretty smart about that. It's not exactly hitting all-time highs on the cruise lines and the hotels, for example. But housing starts are just skyrocketing. I mean, nobody can afford a house, but how's that the case? We just had the fastest recovery ever from a bear market to a bull market, meaning fully recovered all-time highs. 126 days, the fastest one ever. The fastest one ever in the middle of a pandemic. And it does this to people. Huh? Can't be. How? The market looks forward, but they do it all the time. And you know what? Wall Street missed it too. They did. They really did. I mean, person after person from, I know Cramer's never right, so I'm not going to just pick on him. He's never right. He's just an emotional mess and follows whatever trend's in place. But the point is it's not just him. It's market commentator after market commentator, which of course now is like, we're moving our S&P target to, 3,800 now. Thank you. So you got us out in March. Thank you very much. And it's not going to get any better. We'll find a bottom somewhere, but it's not going to get any better. So you kept people, made people sell, had people sell. Didn't make them. But if you turn up the news enough to make sure that fire hose of data hits you right in the face. It's like a power washer. You really don't want to hit your toe. It's just water. It's too much water too fast. It's too much data too fast. If you just park yourself and sat there and listened to the doom and gloom of the experts on Wall Street, you know, the people that make $1 million, $2 million, $10 million a year, telling us what the market's going to do. And actually, they don't tell you that. They parrot what others say. They literally do. They don't want to be too far out of bounds. Or they're dead wrong and have been. What's his name? L. Arian, right? I don't think he's been right about anything in like 20 years. I'm serious. No idea why he's on. Why anybody would listen to anything he said. He's been bearish for like 20 years. Wrong. Sorry. I don't know what to say. But you've got these folks that just keep showing up. And they all parrot each other. And they sound really smart. Really super smart. And this comes at you as a fire hose. And so many people left. So many people got out. And many people that wanted out just kind of hung in. And that's okay to want out. You didn't do anything wrong. You stopped yourself from making an emotional decision. Good for you. Good for you. Because that money's gone forever. And when do you get back in? That's the other trick. All right, I got to take a quick break. We'd love to hear from you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And let's go ahead and jump on the phones. By the way, the number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And let's go to Al. Al, thanks for calling. Al, are you there? Hello? Al? All right, I'm going to put Al on hold, and we'll see what happens. Hey, it sounds like somebody's there. Just say hi.
Hello?
Yes, there you go. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Al.
Oh, Al. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dave. No, I think that we need to come to a realization when we're talking about investing and we're talking about economics and these types of things. And I think that realization is that we don't really live in a capitalist system anymore. We live in basically a debtist system. And what I mean by that is that in the old days, people would take their capital, they'd form a business, and they would grow that business. And, you know, the excess profit that they got from that business, they would reinvest in their business and keep it growing in that manner, in that form and fashion. And, you know, that was, you know, the essence of capitalism and really the essence of delayed gratification rather than instant gratification. And as we all know, as all of us adults know, you know, instantaneous gratification just doesn't work. It doesn't work in anything in life. It has to be delayed gratification. And the whole essence of our capitalist system is that of saving and reinvesting. And unfortunately, we don't do that anymore. Our failed politicians have put us into a situation where all we do is continue to take out debt. And, you know, if debt doesn't grow 2% a year overall, we go into a massive recession and maybe even depression. So, you know, we have to readjust our thinking to this new, what they will call MMT, right? Modern monetary theory, which really isn't modern, okay? And, you know, you can look throughout history and see that folly of this nature has been tried so many times before. You know, if you want to really look at what makes people succeed in the markets is going to be understanding psychology. Mm-hmm. And the psychology is going to be, you know, ideas and behavior. That's the essence of psychology, is ideas and behavior. And so you look at history, for instance, and history is nothing more than a chronicle of human psychology and behavior. So, you know, they might think that this is modern monetary theory, just basically creating debt ad infinitum. But I think we need to look at history, read history, understand human psychology in order to prosper in these crazy markets today.
Well, we do. There's no question. It's like I was just talking with a friend last night. And he said, you know, well, the reality is that we're really psychologists. That's what we do. And he goes, I know.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. Yeah. You're really a psychologist. That's exactly right. And philosophers. You know, I'm sure you've heard of Dennis Gartman. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to him one time make a speech. And somebody asked Dennis, hey, how did you become such a great trader? And what should I go to school to study? And he thought it was going to be, CPA or something like this.
Sure.
He said, no. He says, you need to study psychology, philosophy, economics, history, military history, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. Exactly right. We are psychologists as investors.
Yeah.
That's very good. Very good point, sir.
But I like that part you also added in there, because all of those things that he had said are part of the whole mix. Because if you can't think independently, and very few people actually do anymore, I think that's really the problem. It's not, to me, the whole idea that the government is becoming our nanny state is a problem. That's the problem. It's not,
yes, sir.
It's not the amount of debt. It's that we think debt's okay and don't worry about it. And we can't have a recession. We can't have a problem over here. We need to find a solution. We need to fully understand and embrace that a chicken wing is not a meal, but a chicken leg is. And we really need the governor of New York to tell us that. And otherwise, as a restaurateur, you wouldn't know what to do, right? And this is what we're in the midst of a pandemic, what is happening. But you think about this, and you have to understand the history of letting the camel in the tent and what happens. It's not going to pull back. When has government said, that's way too many laws, let me cut some back?
That's right. And we all know that centralized government is a loser proposition. You know, in anything, in military action, in economic action, whenever you have good people making decisions at the lowest point on the hierarchical scale, you're going to get the very best decisions out of whatever happens. And, Washington, D.C. with a 2,000-mile screwdriver, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can they fix things? They can't. They don't even know what the problem is, and they don't even know if the screwdriver is what's needed, and yet that's what they're going to use.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, government is basically a failure. The free market is what made this country great, and unfortunately, people don't understand that.
No.
And that's why education is really such an important aspect of making this country great again.
Getting education back is the most important thing that people
really
can do.
Is.
We've lost it, and it is the most important thing. Al, thank you. I'm running out of time here this hour. Thank you for your call.
Yes, sir.
And great points. And, as we talk about this, closing out this hour, and Jim, you hang on. We'll get you in the next hour here. You know, it is really something when we think about not just government and the interaction, but what it does to the economy. Yes, it takes your freedoms away, and that is my biggest concern, of course. Yours too. But when we're talking about the markets and the effect on them and taxation, and there is a huge choice coming this November. And that's why the markets, they're telling a different story. They're not telling you Joe Biden's in. They're not telling you the Senate's lost. There's still time. And that is really the message. We're at all-time highs in spite of what's going on. All right. We have hour number two coming up, and we sure enjoy having you here. Our number is 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, this is hour number two of Money Matters. And of course, these are my opinions only. It's not this station. We're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. We're here to learn. Think. People don't think anymore. They just regurgitate. Or they're selling something to you, aren't they? And we want to learn together. I've said this many times, and I mean this with all sincerity. I really do. It's been a total privilege to be able to do this for more than 30 years. You just can't imagine the difference it's made in my life, the way I think about things, my purpose, everything. And it's just an honor that people would give a rip what I think about things. It is. It really honestly is. And thank you. And I know there's many of you, because I hear from you, that have been listening for decades. So thank you for that. Thank you very much. We live in a strange, strange time. Absolutely bizarre. Cities burn, rioting, and we make excuses for, oh, of course they should steal a Rolex watch. Why, that's how they're feeding their family in Manhattan, right? Or Chicago. Or like in Chicago, we get to, we of course have the right as a mayor to protect her home and property and self, but the people in the next block down don't. We're going to defund police in violent areas. We don't care when somebody is shot in a new place called CHOP. And it's just going to be a summer of love. And we have a virus that won't go away because viruses don't go away. And we need to do this. We need to do that. And then it doesn't go away. And we're going to have, this is what our models show, and this is what we need to do, and it's just not working. But let's keep doing the same thing. And we've got an angry orange guy in the White House we've got to get rid of. Who is an angry orange guy? He is, but what a heck of a job he's done. And so the contemplation now is we're going to have a pretty much senile, never done any legislation, hung around D.C. for 40 years. You know, the hair rises on his legs when children get on his lap, and his children are corrupt, and he's bought different countries off for his kids. It's all out there. He brags about it. That's who we have to have. It's a weird world. And in the midst of all this, the market is hitting all-time highs, and we're supposed to understand that. I get it. It's hard. It's hard. And as we talked with Al in Ontario just a minute ago, this is a psychological game. It is. For 30 years, I've talked about the fact that the most important thing to get right in investing is you. You got to handle the ups and downs. It's the way it works. Period. Otherwise, you get drawn to all of the criminal products. And they are criminal. I don't get it either. I don't know how people can make claims that aren't true. The insurance licenses don't have the strength that they should. The policing that needs to happen. Disclosures that need to be there. It's sad. So sad that people can talk about market participation. With a cap of 2%, that's not participating. That's not participating at all. With 10 years of surrender charges or more? Come on. That's not participating at all. If we don't control ourselves and we get stuck in fear,
then total garbage like that is what we fall prey to. Or we want to put it all in gold because we heard a B actor who doesn't do anything anymore is, you know, because he's got it in his safe. And I need to know what some guy who I saw on TV in an old movie years ago, I need to know what they got in their safe. Because that's what I want to own. It's like, you know, I want to know all about, what is it, Carly B? The new porn star, Carly B? Wow, was that bizarre. And she's doing an interview with Joey B, the new presidential candidate. Unbelievable. What a world. What a world that we live in, this mess. No wonder it doesn't make sense, and it's frightening, because it is frightening. Freedom's being taken away every day, and it's okay because it's a health crisis, but they're not coming back. Don't kid yourself. It doesn't come back. And we have people who can't put a sentence together or a thought. And I've been known to swear from time to time myself, but every other word. And yeah, I looked up that song. I did. I looked at the lyrics. You can't even tell people that you're not comfortable with what WAP is. And that's a hit song. It's a weird world. Why do I care what they think? Why do I care what the Kardashians think about things? It's weird. I get it. And the great corporations of the world keep figuring out how to survive in that and thrive in that. And that's why it's such a psychological game. It's so hard for people. And until you wrap your mind around the only thing that matters is me controlling me, that's all, then nothing else will work right. You'll fuss about your investments all the rest of your life. You'll make repeatedly bad decisions about those investments because it becomes an emotional challenge for you. It's a weird world, and you're being tested right now to how you're going to handle that. It's tough. I think it's tough. Believe it or not, I'm an optimistic guy. But there's times I just want to crawl in a corner and roll in a ball and make it all go away. But I don't invest that way. Maybe a good cry is what we all need. A cry for our country. Prayers for our country, our president. Maybe we all need that, but that's not how we think about our investments. Creative destruction is a beautiful thing. It really is. All right, let's go to the phones. Thank you for holding, Tim. I really appreciate it. Go ahead, please. Tim, are you there? I hear you. Say something.
Yes. The Dow is at 27,000 plus. What does that mean?
What that means, boy, I'll tell you. You know, this is a tough index, but I'll give it to you, and then take what you want and ask more questions. Okay, it's an index of 30 companies. Over the years, they change those companies out from time to time to try to be more relevant, if you will. Okay. For example, as Apple grew, now it's one of the Dow companies. But it's price-weighted, so it can be misstated in the sense that that a stock that sells for 100 versus a stock that sells for 10, that since it's price-weighted, that a percentage change is not how it's measured, the way the S&P is. So they're all different indices. Now, what I'm trying to drive at here is this. What's 27,000 represent? It represents a fair indication of these 30 companies and changing companies to keep relevant. Of, for example, 40 years ago when I started in the industry, the Dow was at 80 or 800. Okay? So it was. And so I look at the percentage and you say, is that a real factor? Is that representative of the market? The answer is yes. It's close. The S&P might be a better one, but it's gone from 800 to 27,000. Every point is about 7 points in the Dow now. So if a stock in, if Apple goes up 5 points, that's 35 points on the Dow. It's adjusted for dividends, for stock splits, for all those things. So it is a total return picture. They do a pretty good job of it, considering it's only 30 stocks. But it does, over time, tend to track. But you'll see big differences. This year, the NASDAQ is up 25%, something like that, for the year to date. And the Dow is like about even. Huge difference in that. And so we're seeing some big differences right now because growth is just worth so much more than value stocks are right now. Banks are doing poorly. And as we all have talked about, transportation, things like, or not transportation, but entertainment, things like that are just dying. It's a representation of how the market generally is doing. Is it going up or down? Is the value of your stocks collectively going up or down? That's what the 27,000 is.
Okay. Well, I guess I kind of understand that, I guess.
Well, it's the same with the S&P. They have a different way of measuring it, right? It's cap-weighted, meaning that the stock, the biggest companies out there in the S&P 500 have the biggest weight. And so Apple and Microsoft, Google, those are the companies that drive that index.
Okay. Well, I'll have to think about that.
All right, Tim. Well, call us back if you have more questions.
Okay,
it's a fair
you.
Question. I'm not kidding you. This is complicated. So you look at it and go, I don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Well, I've had several people ask me that, and some of the answers was, you know, or the questions was, well, is that the average value of each stock within that index or what? But obviously, it has nothing to do with the value of each stock. So.
It does not. No, it's not. You know, it does, but it doesn't. It comes in the measure. But the answer is no, it does not. It doesn't tell you what your Disney stock did today, but it's in the index.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, okay. And if overall it's going up, you know that your portfolio is going up. You do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Have a good day. A very fair question. That's one of the things I love about this, right? Because please call and ask these what you think are silly questions or not. I mean, what do we teach in school anymore? Other than socialism is a really good thing to try. We should do that. And we need to be more woke. That's what we teach now. We don't teach about capitalism and what the markets are. We don't teach anybody to be ready for anything except being a barista. We don't. And so that's why this is so important. Jim, how you doing today? Go ahead.
Fine, thank you. How you doing, Dave?
Great. Thank you.
I thought I'd call in. I just knew you were totally concerned about me. Well, I'm, as far as I know, I'm in good health, and I'm virus-free, and that's the reason I don't go to doctors, because I might hear differently.
That's all. Great strategy. No doubt. But, what could go wrong with that?
Well, nothing.
Yeah.
If I'm in health, I'm not going to go and have some damn doctor tell me that I'm not supposed to be in good health.
Well, that's totally fair, and that's certainly old school. Nobody just goes to the doctor in the old days, right? Until something was wrong.
Well, I'll tell you, if I lived through the polio virus back in the early '50s, I'll sure as hell live through this. But you were talking about how people don't think these days. Well, your precious technology is, to a large extent, at fault, or helping it right along, to say the least.
Well, I don't have any doubt about that. Social media is a nightmare in my mind.
Well, I mean, we're making money off of it, but at what cost?
Well, I agree, but you're not going to shut it down either. But the point is that I wouldn't know anything about these nut jobs out there if it weren't for social media. And what I find really weird is that they're like getting rich off of social media. It's not because of talent or anything else. It's just bizarre to me.
But what's weird is the media or the technology is not neutral, right? We all know that the technology is liberal. And so the conservatives right there, I mean, that's five strikes against them, you know?
I know. It's very tough. It's tough to be normal in this world. It is. It's all against them. It is.
But, you know, Al was talking about psychology, and it's true and everything. But how much do we learn? How much, you know, it's a human condition. And I don't think the human condition can be changed, whether it's buying stocks or anything else, whether it's technology. We are humans. And the only people that own the propaganda network is the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. No, it's that's why this is such an important thing. It is. This election is very, very important. I know it is.
Well, you know, it seems like Trump is the only one. You know, there's no Republicans. He's the only one in the frickin' world that has any gonads.
I think that there are some that do. He just I wish his message was different, because there's no doubt in my mind, none at all, that he would go down in history as one of the greatest presidents if he could get a better message. I'm not saying he can never tweet, but you don't need to pick fights with people that don't matter.
That's true in a lot of cases, but you might also use a term that's used these days, tough love. He's using tough love. You know, get over it, fend for yourself, yada, yada.
Yeah, I know. I mean, some of his decisions have been prescient. They really have. I mean, his work with China is historic. There's no question. They're the bad guys, and he stopped it. Is stopping it. And stop the theft of technology. It's absolutely astounding, some of the things he's done. It really is. And the lowest unemployment rates for minorities in all of history is really something. It really is. And it's all lost in the message of, if you will, a very tiresome media, but also he doesn't help himself. And I'm very sad about that, very honestly. I'm very sad about that.
You know, when Obama came in, there were no rioting. The conservatives didn't go mad. And so these people will not take an election. You know, and that's a bad thing.
That's true. Absolutely.
Well, anyway, I'm holding firm and not selling anything and buying when I can. So
there you go. All right. Well, there's always a correction right around the corner. You can put some more of that cash to work.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the market's gone up so much, it's kind of, you know, I've got about 10,000 at the moment. Now, I guess I'll just sit on some cash and wait for the next plunge.
You'll find something. Something always goes wrong.
Okay, well, take care.
Have a great week. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. All right. You know, we got to take a quick break. Paul, Steven, you hang on. You're up to bat next. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us, as always. I do want to say this real quick. Speaking of technology and a problem, I don't know what happened to my app that allows me to get to my email, but it disappeared off my phone. So I can't answer an email. So if you sent one today, I'm sorry about that. I'll have to answer it next week or shoot you an email back sometime. Sorry about that. So don't email me. Or if you have something you really want to talk about, then call us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. All right. Let's go to Paul. Paul, thank you for waiting.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you.
Dave, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me? Hello?
Dave.
Yes.
Yes. A lot of music came in there for a minute.
Oh, it did. Okay.
I really appreciated your broadcast a couple of months ago when you were talking about the risk factor in investing. And you brought up very, very wonderfully this point that of the risk of not being invested in the market. And you did a good job, I thought, of talking about the perceiving fear and the ignorance causes us to make some really irrational and some stupid decisions. So I really appreciated that monologue that you gave.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, and you continually bring up this point that a cup of coffee a day can lead to $1 million in 40 years. Mm-hmm. And my example is that, you know, Idaho could be one of the richest states in the Union if we had managed properly this nuclear power industry that was developed here in the state of Idaho. Arco was the first city in the world to be lit by nuclear power. And from that invention, industry now, billions and billions of dollars of wealth are generating electricity for over a billion people around the face of the earth. And today, not a single light bulb is powered by nuclear power here in the state of Idaho. And, you know, the reports recently have shown that about $2 trillion worth of money is going to be invested into nuclear energy between now and the year 2050 at various places around the world. And my contention is that Idaho should have had a piece of that and still could get a piece of that and make us a world-class power in education, a world-class in industry, world-class in infrastructure, healthcare, all of those kinds of things, if we just took advantage of those opportunities that Idaho has with its nuclear capabilities right here in this very own state.
Well, everybody has those capabilities. It's just, I mean, it's they know how to build a nuclear reactor. Everybody does. I don't mean everybody, but I mean all states, all countries don't know how to do that now. So we just choose not to. And I agree with you. I don't think we should have chosen not to.
It's not just building another reactor. It's building the next generation of reactors that are totally safe. It's building the next generation of reactors that are.
Oh, I understand. I'm just saying it's not unique to Idaho.
50% more efficient than the ones that the Chinese and the Russians are building.
Right. So. No, I understand. I'm just saying it's not unique to Idaho. It's just as a society, unfortunately, I believe it's unfortunate that we made a choice a number of years ago, even though the folks that are really about green energy, the greenest energy that there is on the planet, is nuclear. And they were dead set against that. And so then they had to change their mind, and they really couldn't get their mind wrapped around doing it. And so we have not chosen to do that. And yes, it can be dangerous. We saw that in Japan. That put it way behind when the tsunami hit there. But I'm with you, Paul. I would agree. I think that nuclear energy would be great everywhere because it is. And we have an endless supply, we really do, of those rods just sitting out there at the INEL. Paul, I got to run, though. I've got to take care of, unfortunately, the bill paying part here.
Thanks. We'll see you again, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Have a great day.
Bye.
And we do have to take a quick break. Stephen, hang on. We'll grab you on the other side of Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, we've got a nice long segment to the end today. So ring us up. Love to hear from you. We got a lot of calls today. It's been tremendous. And a very, very patient caller, Stephen. There you go. Thank you. Finally, we got to you, huh?
Steve? Well, I wish I was being given direct questions. I better answer your trivia for this valley that I've been born in Boise.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I was born in Boise. I know a lot of trivia about that. I live on a street here. It should be called Expressway because it used to be called Sanitarium Road.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right.
And it was extension. Now it should be called Expressway.
Yeah, it's a grown place. I imagine a lot of changes since you were born. What can we do for you today, Steve?
I just wanted to say that I agree with Jim very much so, what he had to say the previous two callers ago.
Okay.
Or one caller, twice over.
What did Jim say? I don't remember. Jim just calls to say hi.
He said that, it's hard to say what he said. I've experienced difficulty with an immediate moment. I live at a trash dump. It's been off the grid for about 4 years. Uh-huh. And it's out that way mostly during the abomination.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank
I,
you.
I would like to get invested, but I think it's a little late for me to get invested with stock. I watched my dad do well with it.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
I'm getting a lot of feedback with this phone.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, Stephen, thank you for listening, and thank you for giving us a call today. I appreciate it. And
I would just want to say I want to recommend you to. I've been recommending you to my wife over in Ontario. She moved out in '95.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry she moved out.
And I'm just holding together with one Jewish guy here and another friend that's got a lot of health issues. And I don't drive anymore, although I drive like a wind, like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you got some companionship there, too.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Good. Sir, you have a good day.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye now. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Gary. Gary, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Oh, good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I have a question for you. My investment strategy is to purchase members only of the dividend aristocrats, those 50-plus stocks which have paid reliable dividends for like 20-plus years and increased them. Looking at them, one thing that is a concern is occasionally you'll see that the payout ratio is over 100%, which means these guys are paying dividends that they really cannot afford long term. You'll see that with Exxon, Walgreens, Chevron. Any guidance on how much attention I should pay to blips of payout ratio?
Yeah, that's a fabulous question, Gary. It really is. And I have a little bit, I have to say, this is exactly where I came from for, I don't know, I'm going to call it 25 years of my 40 years in the industry. That to me always made sense. And you've heard me a zillion times talk about the Procter & Gamble story. One penny per share in 1970 is now 70 cents per share per quarter. Nothing on the planet has a 70-fold increase in income except stocks. Right. And so I love that strategy for income. The problem here is that if you do have companies that aren't able to grow their earnings and grow them rapidly, then what we end up with is our companies that end up cutting in the end because they can't pay out more than they're making. So the payout ratio to me is very important. And so I've moderated that a bit to say this. And it's also I've also had to moderate, too, and say that you have to have some growth in there too, because that sometimes is the only thing that's working, like now, right? And I don't mean for short-term performance. I mean for long-term. Just because Google chooses not to pay a dividend doesn't mean I can't own it, even in an income portfolio. And here's why. You can also sell their shares from time to time, right? Because Amazon doesn't choose to pay a dividend and so on. You get what I'm saying. But if you're trying to stick with an income strategy with the core, and I don't disagree with that, then watch the payout ratio. And if it exceeds over time, you mentioned two energy companies, right?
Yep.
Maybe now's not the time to make a final judgment on the energy companies because they're running into a cyclical problem. But if it's a secular problem, like a Procter & Gamble, that isn't selling enough and the dividend really can't keep rising, is a sign of danger, okay? So I do want you to periodically look at them and go back through with additional filter of the payout ratio. Don't let them pay out all of it. They don't have any money left to grow the company, right? Just don't.
Okay.
So be careful with that, and if it rises too much, okay? That's what I would say. You need another overlay of a filter there. There's nothing wrong with the aristocrats, but I'll bet you cut that list less than in half by going back through and making sure that, A, they're really growing it, but they're not growing it at the expense of reinvesting in the business. And you also will find through that whole process, you're going to find some companies that have very, very low dividends like Apple, but the ability to raise them rapidly in the future if they choose to. That's the kind of company that has a solid footing that you're really looking for. Because if you have a company that's not only just paying out income, but paying out on a very low basis and growing the dividend, it shows that company is growing. It's growing and it has a lot of strength. And when the next pandemic or fill in the blank, financial crisis, whatever it is, comes along, that's going to be a big survivor. And that's what you're really looking for in that type of a thing. And income, of course.
Okay. So much like in the case of Apple, it's much like planting an oak tree. You're going to have to wait for the fruit, but it's going to come.
Exactly. I mean, you look at it and you go, okay, I'm only going to get a 1% dividend. But see, here's the reality with Apple, right? When they started paying a dividend, their stock was much, much, much lower. So my dividend on my original price is not 1%. It's six. Okay, and growing, and growing. It does take time.
Okay, yeah. What is the basis? What did you pay for this thing, you know, divided into what are they paying now in a dividend?
Correct. That's right. And I'm not saying you all, that's not the end-all, be-all. Otherwise, you get in lots of trouble with not doing current math, okay? And I run into clients that do that. I can't sell my so-and-so because it's paying me 12%. Well, no, it's not. I mean, it shows it's right here. Yeah, but based on what I paid for it 30 years ago. Okay. But that's not, if they're not growing it now, then don't tell me you're getting 12%, because you can take that same dollars that you would get by selling it and reinvest it somewhere else and get more. And more growth or more safety, whatever it is you're looking for in that. And so we have to be monitoring on an ongoing basis and not just buy and put away. The world is changing very, very rapidly. We all know that. But it's estimated, for example, that there will be in another 10 to 15 years, there'll be half of the S&P won't exist anymore. Not all of them will be gone because they're bankrupt, but many will. Many will be bought out and changed. And so you just can't put it away and say, that's all right, I own Procter & Gamble. Now, if you're 80 years old and you've held it for 50 years, yeah, the tax situation is a little bit much to get rid of it. But if that's not the case, I just don't see them selling lots more soap around the world. It's a problem for these big companies to keep growing their dividends. No question. We just really have to monitor that now and don't just get stuck on a strategy. It's like the dogs of the Dow. It worked until it didn't. Right? You remember that strategy?
Yep.
And now it just, nobody talks about it because I don't know when the last year it worked was. Because what you ended up doing was owning the dogs, the worst companies out there who got beat up, but the world had changed. And so just because Alcoa was down, it was always down. They finally removed it from the Dow. It was always down and became a big yielder. And that's part of the problem. You can find companies that are what we call a value trap, where you buy them because they look like they're a great value, but they're really a crappy company. And you buy them because you think the price is so good. That's
GE, maybe?
GE is a great example of that. There you go. It was a dividend aristocrat, wasn't it?
And boy, when they cut the dividend, the price just plummeted.
And the company, yes, because they were over. Yeah. It was Immelt, Jeff Immelt. What a treasure he was, huh? Wow. Did he ever ruin that company? Kind of like Johnston. Wasn't it Johnston? Yeah, it was. With Albertsons here. Incredible. A bad CEO can do a lot. A CEO can do a lot of damage for sure. Gary, thank you for your call. Good questions.
Thanks, Dave.
Have a great day. Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And again, I'm sorry about the email situation, right? I mean, sorry about that. It's, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. Hey, we found some other little weird thing on with my computer the other day. It's like, I don't know why your phone doesn't show up on the, you know, your voice messages. It's just, I'm in a technology slump right now, apparently. I don't know. It'll break. Probably tomorrow. All right. So as we're wrapping up here, we've got a little bit of time left today. And if nobody wants to call, then fine. I'll just talk, okay? Because that's what I do anyway. I want to touch on this. This is something that it's a little heartbreaking. I want to give you a little bit of a background, just a tiny bit. And I don't just get angry. I can get wound up, and I can get really angry about injustices, and particularly against older people. It really ticks me off. And my grandparents, I spent a lot of time with them, and therefore a lot of old folks. And all they did was take care of a lot of people. And they did. And my grandmother was a minister, and became a minister when she was 60 years old. But she was a minister long before that. I mean, long, long before that. She would go out and oftentimes at this old settlement house, and those of you who aren't from the East don't even know what I'm talking about, but let's just call it a community, impoverished community gathering center, okay, where people could maybe come get some food. And she ran that in this really poor place in West Virginia, outside of Morgantown, a little town called Osage. And she ran this thing for, both of them did. He just got off work and came, and they even lived there. So I do have a little bit of a soft spot for that. And she was taken advantage of. And she was, you know, in her declining years, she just didn't know. Just didn't know when people would call up and talk her into that she'd won the lottery. And we just couldn't, you know, so we had to take her phone away and make sure she couldn't enjoy the technology that had come, right, which was emails and things, because we knew what would happen. And, you know, eventually we got it stopped. But it's unfortunate, and it just shows, and I found out how widespread this really is, where people just get on the phone and ruin people's lives. And I had this happen to a client, a dear lady. She and it just broke her heart. And it, because she, you know, it's like, I thought I was smarter than this, right? You know, that kind of thing. It happens out there. And we really need to think about it. Think about the people around us and who are they talking to? I mean, all these spams that come in and all these things, they're just really good at it. What you're clicking on the computer, where's that going to? And all of those things where we really have to protect people. We do, because sometimes people get old and confused. I'm old and confused, I guess. It's just something as we get older. And there are really evil people out there. They're awful. It leads us into so many different things. I don't just get angry about it. I get angry because these are people who are vulnerable. You know, how hard is it to scare somebody, an old person, that the world is upside down? I mean, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, isn't it? World's upside down. You need an equity indexed annuity. It's frightening out there. Let's tie up your money over the next 10 years and I make a big pile and you will not participate in the market, but I get to say that. It's all out of fear. And these folks are vulnerable. And I wish those kind of things that are like legal weren't. I don't understand insurance companies that, you know, yippee-ki-yay, we ripped off some old folks. We made a mint. Good for us. But they're out there. And I don't want to say they're all out there, because, you know, the quality insurance companies, they don't do that. They don't. The A-plussers. They don't do that stuff. So it's not everybody. It's not all of them. And then you got the people pimping the product, and they do. And they don't have rules that they have to follow. So we have to gather together and protect them. It just, the rules aren't there uniformly. They're just not. So people need help. And it really touched me, and it really broke my heart when you hear it firsthand. I had planned to use it for this, this, and this, and somebody is just broken to the soul. It's evil. I remember a couple years ago when a gentleman came in the office and I was called in to talk about it because he'd had $1.5 million put into an equity indexed annuity. And he almost had a stroke. He's probably listening today because he does. And we finally, over the years, been able to get it out. We couldn't get it out without a huge loss. He wanted it invested in the market. It wasn't, because it has all those caps. Can't participate at all. So he never did. On all the upside. Trapped. I thought he was going to have a stroke. But I did find some whiskey and we saved the day. That's kind of a good part of the story. That's a funny story. Such a good guy. But at any rate, please. Even if people are not losing their faculties, it's a confusing world. Watch out for your neighbor. Watch out for your parents, grandparents, whatever. we can all get so busy in our lives that we just don't. We just don't. But it's just not just a number. It's not just a number that X billions of dollars were stolen in the last year. It's real. Real people. And it rips their soul out. It's not just money. It's